First John chapter 2, verse number 20. Adults, got a question for you tonight. It has nothing to do with the message tonight. When you look around church, you see the younger ones. Do you see potential? Do you see people who can really be serving the Lord in a few years? And do you really see them doing that? Sometimes we become very critical. And really, we got some tremendous things going on here in the lives of young people. You say, well, man, well, yeah, but all of us are, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But it's exciting to see. And we just need to believe in each other. Go forward. Chapter number 2, verse number 20. I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter tonight. Verse number 20 says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who's a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to just to read the scripture and allow it to speak to our hearts as we read. Lord, I pray tonight as we look at these truths that you might bless and work in our hearts and open our minds, our soul to the things of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. In the first 12 verses of this book, we learn that we can have fellowship with the Father because he has illuminated our way in him. There is a manifestation of fellowship with God that reveals itself in distinct ways. In chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, we find that one of those is fellowship with the brethren. If you're a child of God, that is a very true thing. There's also confession of sin. When the Spirit of God dwells within, one of the things he does bring comfort, but he also brings conviction, and a whole lot better than our conscience does. And so when he does that, there's confession of sin. But we also find that there's conviction by the truth in the last verse of that particular chapter. Much of the rest of the book is giving us assurances of our membership in the family of God. And as I mentioned last week, assurances are different than security. Security, we look at the Word of God, we see a verse that says, yes, this is what you do, this is what takes place. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Is that an if clause? No, it's a dramatic statement. And it means what it says what it means. So if I call upon him, he will save me. However, you know and I know that in our walk with Christ, there are times we don't feel assured of our salvation. Things have taken place, we're not walking as we should walk and so forth, and those things begin to wane. And so we have to stop and look at some things. One of the things that happens, we find, of course, is people don't keep the commandments as they ought to, and we don't love our brethren as we ought to. And when those things are taking place, if we come back to the Lord and ask him to forgive us, according to chapter 1, verse 9, if he is faithful, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as God brings the conviction of those things upon us, if they be true, then we can come to him and have that fellowship restored. Now, as we go to the rest of the chapter that we've read tonight, there's a couple of things I'd like for us to notice. And that is, there is leadership or seduction of the spirits. And I'm going to use the term spirits there, referring to evil spirits. And then, of course, we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 22 and verse 23. We kind of jump back and forth because it talks about one and it talks about the other. But in verse 22 and 23 says, who's a liar but he that what? Denieth that Jesus is the Christ. There is something you can look at and always depend upon, and that is, when you look at what a person believes about the Lord Jesus Christ, you can tell whether they're true or whether they're not. And it always is concerning him. And we ought to be excited when we find those who believe properly. In this particular day, there was a group of people called the Gnostics. And they basically made Jesus, in their minds, a mortal man and not deity. They saw him as a real person. They did not deny that. But they did not see his deity. They didn't see him really as God. We have three large groups of people in our country that have the same problem. You stop and think about Catholicism and what they look at. They look at Jesus as a man, one who's still on the cross or in a. If you go to a foreign country, you find he's in a coffin, laying in the back of the church or the front or wherever they might have it at. And he is one who, by the way, he did go to the cross. He was in a grave, but he's not any longer. Amen. He's alive and well. And so they make him really like a mortal man. And he becomes more the son of Mary than the son of God in their minds. And of course, Mormonism, they believe Jesus and the devil are brothers. And, well, enough said there. Jehovah Witnesses, they use the term Jehovah because they don't believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. They look at him as a man and not as you and I would look at him. And so we find that there are those today that they are spirits of seduction. We find also there are those who simply add Jesus to their list of saviors, and I put that in quotation mark. And especially if you go into some foreign countries, I remember for years I would hear about folks going down to Mexico, and they'd come back and say in 2 weeks' time there was 400 and 500 decisions for Christ. And we would woo and wow and just be all excited about it. And then we begin to learn the truth. And from the missionaries who were there, basically what they said was, they've got all their gods, and when they hear about Jesus, they just add him to the list. And he's nothing more than that to them so often. Praise God, there are those who do get saved. Often also we find that in these spirits of seduction, they're like the Gnostics who profess a superior knowledge of God outside of and above the Bible. There are a number of things of that nature, and I bring this up because there's one that has started nearly 20 years ago. It's growing throughout our nation. A young man that grew up with my children, he's bought into this stuff, but it's called the Bible Code. And they are looking at that, and they said, well, we can predict things from this Bible code. What it amounts to basically is this. They'll take a chapter like we've looked at tonight, and they'll look through the letters, and every sixth letter, every fifth letter, whatever, you count over five, and then you count over five more, and you put those letters in place, and you get the answer to some sort of problem that they made up. And some of them believe they can predict things. By the way, some of you heard last year that was supposed to be the coming of Christ back in September. How many heard that? That was out of this group. Do you remember that 2 years previous to that, they also said the same thing? What they said was basically, well, we got the day wrong or the year wrong last time. I suppose that's an excuse again. But let's understand something, though. Deuteronomy 18:21 says, if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. A real prophet of God, one who's making predictions that we think of with John the Revelator, they don't miss. Their predictions are accurate. Why? Because they come from God. Can you predict some things in the future? If we look at some particular event or whatever, somebody could probably get it right. And it'd be by chance. But with the Spirit of God, it's always going to be right. But all of those evil spirits that are seeking to take us in the wrong direction, but thank God for the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Notice verse number 20. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. An unction. They've been anointed, basically, from the Holy One to know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He gives us that unction to believe. Now, God does some wonderful things in this area. One is God gives us human teachers. That doesn't make them infallible. But in Ephesians, he says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And so we have those who are human teachers. But true revelation, when a truth is revealed to you, it's not because that preacher, the evangelist, or whoever it is, has something very special. It's because the Holy Spirit of God comes through them or is working that word into your heart and your mind. Matter of fact, God can use that when the one who's speaking is not in touch with God at all, because God's powerful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:11, says, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." And so when you look at the Word of God, or you're in a setting like we are in this evening, and God speaks to your heart, God shows you something, that's the Spirit of God that is doing that. And thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. It's not left up to you and to me. I read this just today. How many know who Joel Osteen is? I don't even know the name of the so-called church down there. Where's he at? Houston. Just recently, he was saying some things, and it was a guy that was just a little bit skeptical, and he opened up his Bible. Joel Osteen made a 20-foot leap off the platform down to take his Bible away. And the whole place exploded into applause because his words to them are more powerful than the others. No, it's not Joel Osteen, it's not anybody else. It's the blessed Word of God as the Spirit of God gives us of His truth. The foundation of our faith is in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that which we've heard from the beginning, and we must continue in, as it talks about in verse 24 and verse 25. And so you and I tonight, we have those evil spirits that are seeking to draw us away, but thank God we have the Holy Spirit of God who's taking the truth of God and revealing that into our hearts. Truth is cemented in our hearts by the Spirit of God. Notice verse number 27. It says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Let me say it again. If you come across something in the Word of God you do not understand, what is the best commentary you can use? It's comments, commentary. Holy Spirit of God. Is he not the author of the Word of God? And so what we do so often is we go buy a book. We get this, that, nothing wrong with books, nothing wrong with commentaries, and they can be beneficial and helpful. I have learned in my own experience that everything I do not understand, I open up a commentary and go through all the different ones that I have, and I never find the answer. And in the end, it's, "Lord, I don't know what this is." And God leads and directs. Sometimes not right away, sometimes it's over a period of time. But He is the one who is going to reveal stuff to us. And thank God for that. So it's cemented in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 16, he said this, "Howbeit the Spirit of truth, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." We know from the book of John also that thy word is truth. So where is he going to guide us? He's going to guide us in the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So who's going to help us in these things? There's those evil spirits that are going to take us in the wrong direction. They never point to Christ in a proper, godly, biblical manner. But we have the Holy Spirit of God that can guide us in all these areas. So don't despair when you have a problem. Go to God, ask God through the Spirit of God to reveal to you that which you are seeking for. Can he do that? Sure he can. And he might use somebody in your life. You might hear something that all of a sudden it clicks, but the Spirit of God's using that to do that in our life. It's here that we have fellowship with God. It is in this spot where we're looking at his word and we're wanting God to reveal himself to us, and we're allowing the Spirit of God to open this up to us. Here we have fellowship with God. But not only with God, according to verse number 29, it's with all of those who are seeking to do it the right way. Interesting, John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit. When you find that in your Bible, you'll find it does not have a small s on spirit. It is referring to the Holy Spirit. God is, he is the Holy Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him. How many know what it says? In spirit and in truth. Okay? One of the popular things today, and I don't want you to misunderstand this, when we talk about the Spirit of God guiding us, is that people say, well, the Spirit told me. Is it in regards or in correlation with the Word of God? That's a necessity. Okay? And when the Spirit of God is teaching you that, he's going to call to your mind, he's going to show you some way, somehow, where that truth is or how it's portrayed in the Word of God. It may take some digging, it may take some studying, but by the way, God wants us to study, does he not? God wants us to dig into his Word that he might open those truths up to us. Don't despair. I mentioned, I believe it was Sunday night, a friend of mine that preached at our house, and I don't know if I even finished the story, but when he got done, I thought, my goodness, he knows so much about the Bible, and I don't have a clue compared to him. I got discouraged with that, to tell you the truth, and I didn't see how in the world I was ever going to be able to preach the Word of God and to do it as successfully he did in his freshman year. But through the years of study and so forth, God has little by little added things to the knowledge bank, so to speak. He does that. And you're not going to get it all at once. Matter of fact, he tells us in one place that he doesn't give it all at once because there's some things we can't understand or handle at that particular time. How many have ever noticed you've had a circumstance in your life and then God brought a scripture to you that helped you go through that circumstance? That's an amazing thing. Why does that happen? Well, before that circumstance, that scripture didn't mean quite what it does now. When I think about the healing power of God, it means more to me now than it did a year and a half ago. And I'd seen God's power work in people's lives. And I'd experienced just a small fraction of that in years gone by. What happened? God did something in my life, and I go back and I see those things. I read Psalms with a different interest than I did before. So God uses all those things to draw us closer unto him. God wants that fellowship with us. So remember, there are the evil spirits. They're going to take you in the wrong direction from who Jesus Christ is. How many have ever looked on the internet for something concerning the Bible? I mean, be honest. I'm not opposed to that. I do the same thing. I was trying to find some things today. And Google once in a while knows some biblical things. Or get me to the right spot. But when we have those kinds of things and seeking after, it's amazing then God wants to bless. And so when we're seeking, God will do that. Too often we become content where we're at. So I look at chapter number 2, and I find a chapter that's, in my own mind, overall, is trying to teach me that He wants me to walk with Him. Very simple. And to know Him and to understand Him. And I just say, amen. Amen? I just went back and read verse 28. Little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him in His coming. Great verse. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to divide up tonight and have a time of prayer. For those who stay in here, if you're going, most of our young people head across for some games. You can go over there. A couple of you help with that too. Oh, let's pray. Father, thank You so much for a time we can gather together and consider Your words. Lord, I pray You help us discern those evil spirits that seek to lead us astray and away from the path. Lord, we have so many of them today. Many of those who seem to have a knowledge that they claim is far above the Word of God. We find them on Christian networks and so forth. God, help us to have the right discernment. And I pray, oh God, we might be able to allow Your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and direct us into the Word of God. And I pray that You give folks a great joy of discovering truth. For I pray in Christ's name. Amen.